Hi, and welcome to Poet's Tree. My name is Paul Hamilton, and I am a poet. Last night, fair Naomi, I did dream that we perched together at the banqueting table in our castle of love. And as you did daintily feast upon the pickled marrow, to the thrumming of a dulcet lute I did sing,
Fa-la-la, my pretty one, fa-la-la, my pretty one.
That was Dream, a poem I wrote after a particularly vivid dream. You know, sometimes a slice of cheese flan before retiring can produce something a bit more creative than an unfortunate bout of flatulence.
Poet's Tree.
My caterwauling at the end of my opening poem just now was influenced by a study I made of medieval popular song, which brings me very neatly onto my first item and my first guest. Cue the music.
Ag-a-do, do, do, push pineapple, shake the tree. Ag-a-do, do, do, push pineapple, grind coffee. To the left, to the right, jump up and down.
As an opening line, it doesn't quite have the ring of, say, Thomas's Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. But then again, ag-a-do, do, etc. is a line from a song by the rock group Black Lace, and that means it can't be poetry. Or can it? Well, with me to discuss the poetic merits of pop and rock lyrics is lecturer in contemporary culture, Philippa Stone of Leeds University.
Hello.
Hi, welcome, Philippa.
Yes.
Now, how about that line about a pineapple being pushed up a hill? I mean, is it a metaphor for the absurdity of existence or just a load of old rubbish?
Well, some might think it's a load of old rubbish, but I mean, what is poetry?
Well, it's...
A poem is a written collection of words, isn't it, that people find attractive or interesting or that causes a reaction in them. And I don't know about you, but I remember being at many a wedding a few years back, slightly the worse for a couple of classes of the old Vino Calypso, singing, well, shouting, couldn't call it singing, shouting out those words at the top of my voice with 100 other people, and everybody knew those words and everybody enjoyed them. It was, you know, if you want to be a bit precious about it, a verbally-based common experience, and that's... what good poetry is, isn't it?
But surely good poetry explores emotional and spiritual landscapes.
Sure, yeah.
On an ideally profound and thought-provoking level. You know, this is hardly what you'd call...
You don't look too happy, Paul.
Well, no, it's just that to me... Oh, bite your tongue, Hamilton. Anyway, look, we asked you to bring in a couple of examples of pop lyrics that you think could be classified as poetry.
You did, yep.
So what have you got for us?
Well, the first is a song called Mobile Phone by the Swiss group Pop Socks.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of them?
I can't say I have.
I thought we'd say that. Now, this song was a massive Europe-wide hit in 1999. See what you think of the lyrics.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to the lyrics in context, as it were. This is Mobile Phone by Pop Socks.
I was thinking about you. I was feeling alone. So I decided to call you on my mobile.
So that's a bit of Mobile Phone by Pop Socks, and socks being rather worryingly spelled S-O-X. Now, let's have a look at those lyrics. I was thinking about you, I was feeling alone, so I decided to call you on my mobile phone.
Yeah.
And then the chorus, brr, brr, calling your mobile phone, brr, brr, on my mobile phone. You and I got a mobile phone. We've both got mobile phones.
Yeah.
Right, now, I can imagine some of our more conventional listeners saying, is that poetry? And personally speaking, I can't say it exactly moves me.
Well, perhaps not, but to the younger generation, they have a much more immediate...
Watch it, I haven't quite got my bus pass yet.
Yes, I know, you're 47, 48.
Well, I'm 41.
Right, you're 41, so as
Do
far as...
Do you mind?
Sorry.
No, go on.
But to a teenager, a mobile phone is a social lifeline, isn't it? It's a status symbol. It's a way of connecting. And yeah, sure, it's pretty basic stuff, but to its target audience, that is poetry.
Right, OK. So,
something tells me you're not going to be joining in the Pop Sox fan club.
Well, I'm saying nothing. OK, look, let's have a listen to another track you've got there. Yeah. And this is a song by thrash metal group Agony Circus and their song Do These Things.
They could all blind, they can relate our stomach, stomach our fingers. The French man is my job, throw your mother's dad. Kill your cat, make your pop man, voice in your asshole, push your auntie over onto the grilled hot grill.
I'm worried about that guy's throat, I really am. That's Agony Circus there. And, oh, God, I feel like I'm turning into a DJ or something.
I think you'd make a great DJ, actually, Paul.
Well, I'm not sure that's a compliment, Philippa, but let's have a look at the lyrics to this, and I'll have to take it on trust that these are the lyrics. Throw your mum and dad in a pit, throw them in a pit, throw them in with their best cutlery, kill your cat, maim your postman, poison your uncle... Push your auntie over, push her over onto the hard ground, the cold, hard ground.
Yeah. Yeah, now here we've got a... your face.
No.
Or we've got another take on the pop lyric, because whereas the type of lyric in Mobile Phone is a kind of social documentation of a cultural trend, with the Agony Circus song, you've got words expressing rebelliousness and rejection of authority and convention. Mm. Throwing your mum and dad in a pit with their best cutlery.
Killing your cat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, no, what's a cat?
Well, it's...
I'm just saying, it's another trapping of a safe, conventional bourgeois lifestyle, or at least that's what the kind of person who listens to this would argue.
OK, well, it's certainly an interesting area of poetic debate, and I'm keen to open it up to our listeners, so please do let us know what you think, and I'm sure you will. And as far as I'm concerned, Bob Dylan at his best just about gets away as legitimate qualification of poetry, but hey, what do I know? And thanks very much for joining us, Philippa Stone.
My pleasure.
And all together now, oh dear. The American beat poet Alex Hurwitz celebrated his 90th birthday this week, having confused, enraged, and quite often disgusted the poetry establishment for nigh on 70 years. And in this week's Words from the World section, we have Carl Freeman of the Royal Shakespeare Company to read Alex's most famous poem, Duane O'Reilly's Ass.
Ass of magic, ass of disguise, ass of mystery beneath cobalt skies, ass that sat on hungry faces, ass enjoyed by all God's races. Jade ass spits potato chips, asswipe joy and asswipe lips, ass of wonder, ass of might, ass of royal beauty bright. At Rushmore I asked to have an ass, like beautiful Duane O'Reilly's ass. All the presidents were there stoned, and stoned they groaned, and this intoned. Duane O'Reilly's ass may be a gas, but ask not what you can do for your ass. Ask what your ass can do for you. Wop, bop, aloobop, wop-dee-doo.
Duane O'Reilly's Ass by Alex Hurwitz. And reader Carl Freeman is currently appearing as Wheezus of Spazareth in Oh Mr. God at the Comedy Theatre, London. Unlike Alex Hurwitz, the poet Justin Wiverley died in the year 2000 at the age of just 53. Over the years, we developed an often tempestuous friendship that became very important to both of us. It's a tragedy that this rare genius is not, in fact, a national treasure. Sadly, his unconventional social behaviour, drug addiction, and alcoholism led to him not only failing to secure a publisher, but actually turning most of them into outright enemies. Over 1 week in 1999, sensing that his time was limited, I personally attempted to capture something of the man in a series of taped interviews. I'm afraid the recordings are a little worn and unclear, but, as you'll hear, by then, so was Justin. Hi, it's Wednesday, the 19th of May, 1999. My name is Paul Hamilton.
Hello, my name is Paul Hamilton. And
I am a poet. I am here with fellow poet, Mr. Justin Witherley. And how are you today, Justin?
I am in a big boot. I'm in today a big boot.
You're in a big boot.
Yeah, I am in a big boot. What's that?
Well, when... Yeah. Should, no, okay, Justin, give Ooh. Me... A, no, it's a, look, it's a tape recorder.
Should I sing a song?
No, I just want to record some of your thoughts.
Yeah, give me that.
Look, I was just wondering if you'd like to tell me about any poetry that you're working on at the moment.
Poetry?
Justin, you wrote with bent and swollen fingers of epilepsy in the park and your biting mother. And who could forget your impressions of surgery written during the gallstone years? Now, Justin, what makes you want to write poetry?
It makes me happy.
Does it?
Yes. Can't you tell?
How about...
Can't you tell how happy it makes me?
What is it about your poetry that makes you happy?
What? Kiss me.
No, Justin.
Oh,
no, Justin, please.
Kiss.
No.
Kiss me.
No, I don't want to. Please don't do that. And when your great heart could no longer swing to the beat, you died unpublished. Now, Justin, your poetry is very vivid, very immediate.
I can do the tree poem.
Oh, good. Would you do the tree poem?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
You okay? Do you want to give us the tree poem?
Ha ha, they cut it down. 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 Ha ha.
All right. Okay, Justin. Unpublished.
The words like ants crawling down my face, little leggy tears sobbing out the wireless from eggs of all that they put me through, and on and under and around Guildford or Haiti. It's venting time for Hubris Hugh and his slick bow tie, and you hear the blood and you see the screams and you feel everything.
And although you died a gasping, thrashing death,
no more! Dear God, no more!
I rejoice that you died with poetry in your ears, and I am proud that it was mine. A tribute to Justin Witherley. Till next week, good night from Poets Tree and me, Paul Hamilton.
Well, in fact, that was the last in the series of Poets Tree. It was written by Kevin Eldon and Stuart Lee and produced by Ed Morrish.